Would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to John? The Gospel according to John, chapter 4. And as the Lord would help us this morning, we might consider together verse 14. Now we shall read in verse 7. We find the Lord Jesus at Jacob's well at midday, and we read verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Amen. Jesus said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Here is the Lord Jesus at the well outside the city of Sychar in the area of Samaria. It's midday, he's been travelling, he is weary with his journey, he's sitting on the stones or the perhaps even the wooden, a bit of wood that is around this well when this woman of Samaria comes to draw water. And he asks her for a drink. But his whole purpose is not merely to have his thirst relieved. Rather, he is wanting to use this as an object lesson, something to hold up and say, look at that, I'm going to teach you spiritual things where you will realise that, or you should realise that, there is a parallel between water and spiritual water, between thirst and spiritual thirst. That's what he's doing. Yes, give me to drink. We all know what thirst is like. But what he's wanting to teach her is that she has a spiritual thirst, and that he, the Lord Jesus, alone can supply that need. That he alone, as the one who is the gift of God, is able to refresh the soul. Now, sadly, we find that she was slow to grasp the lesson. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus will teach her and press upon her that this is her great spiritual need. So let's look at this morning as it reminds us of man's spiritual need, or of our spiritual thirst. First of all, we'll notice the woman's spiritual thirst. The woman's spiritual thirst. And if you'd come to this woman and if you'd asked her, "Do you have a spiritual thirst?" she probably would have looked at you and wondered what you were on about. Because it's evident that she did not discern her spiritual thirst. Or if there was a perhaps a subconscious awareness of it, she sought to satisfy it elsewhere. You'll notice that she totally misunderstands what the Lord Jesus is on about, and at the end of the day, her response to the Lord saying, "You need the water that I can give you so that you'll never thirst again," she says, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." That sounds good, but what a letdown. "Neither come hither to draw." She's only thinking of it in terms of physical water. Here's this, "Give me this, some of this magic water so that I'll never actually feel thirsty physically again." She's just so unaware of her spiritual danger. She is unaware, you could say, of the real void, the emptiness that there is in her heart and her soul. And she is evidently fairly content with her life, even though there's a lack of true peace and true rest. She didn't discern her spiritual thirst. And friends, isn't that the way so many people are today? All around us, we see people who are thirsting, who are dying with spiritual thirst, you could say. But yet, it's the last thing they think is their problem. Many feel that they are self-sufficient, that they have all that they need. You speak to the average person today, certainly in certain parts of our town even, and they would feel, "Well, I am rich and increased in goods, and I have need of nothing. I'm happy with my life. I've got a nice family. I've got a nice house, a nice car, a decent job. I get on and I can enjoy myself. And, well, I'm happy and content with what I have." And they are just living for the here and now and what they have. And they think that's all there is. And if you said, "Do you not feel you get any need?" They end up saying, "No, quite happy." How deceitful is sin? Or we might say these people really are living in denial. And that's the way many people are today. They're like those who are sick but are living in denial. They're those who have nothing to really satisfy themselves, but they're making out as if they are. Many are like that. And I suppose there may be some who do feel their needs. They're not quite so happy. They're not quite so content. But they struggle on trying to make do, looking in the wrong places to satisfy their soul. Well, this woman, she didn't discern it. That's the way many people are. You'll notice that she was content with supplying her own needs. She did have needs. We all have spiritual needs. And yet, like many, this woman was supplying her own needs. You'll notice that she appears satisfied, you could say. She is someone who has, well, she's life and she's living her life the way everyone else seems to be doing. You'll notice from the passage she's got her husbands, and she's a string of husbands, but, well, she's happy there in a sense. She's no doubt indulging various sins, and she's got a religion also. And you can see that really she doesn't feel her spiritual need. She's trying to satisfy, or she feels in many ways that she's been able to satisfy those needs. And that's the case, even though that apparent satisfying of the longings and needs of our soul isn't lasting. Perhaps you see that especially as the passage goes on and she explains, or the Lord tells her, asks her, have you had a husband? She says she's got no husband. And the response is, oh, well, the reality is you've got five husbands and the man you've got just now isn't even your husband. What's happened? There's one relationship after another. And there's no thought, is this all wrong somewhere? Is the way I'm living my life and the way I'm living my relationships, is there a basic flaw in that? And can I not... there's no thought that perhaps there is a right way, God's way of doing things. Whether it's marriage. Well, if one doesn't work, I'll get another. Or whether it's living to just enjoy yourself. Well, okay, a person may enjoy the weekend and have a good time, a good party. Trouble is, the next day comes. The working week comes. What do people do? The way they live from weekend to weekend, or from party to party, or from holiday to holiday. That's what they're doing. They're trying to satisfy their deepest longings for peace, for contentment, for true happiness. And what they're doing is they're just living from one thing to another with things that give no real contentment and peace and true happiness, and they end up having to come back for more. If you think of it, the way celebrations are today, they're extravagant. The next party has to be bigger than the last party. I often think of people with young children having a birthday party. You used to just have people round to the house perhaps and play some party games, but no, it has to be bigger. And the trouble is, at a very young age, if it ends up a huge big affair, what are you going to do in a few years' time when it has to be even bigger than what seems as large as you can make it almost? There's just this, everything has to be bigger and greater and more exciting than the last one, and we feel let down. Isn't that true? What's it betraying? These things don't satisfy our deepest longings. So here she is, having to come back for more, a bit like the water. She's got to go back there every day for more water. It doesn't last. And how many are like that? Struggling and groping after things that don't give lasting satisfaction and peace, don't give real meaning to life, don't help in difficult situations, doesn't help when troubles come, when sickness comes, when death appears. How different from the psalmist, who could say that in God he had found more joy in God and more peace in God than a time when corn and wine abounded, the time of feasting. Dear believer, have you not often found that? You can be that in a situation. It might be a wedding, it might be a gathering. There's nothing wrong with these things. We're not criticising these things. But and there's a big affair going on, and sometimes you can feel what an emptiness. And you may have actually found more peace and contentment in a difficult situation, in a time of sickness or even mourning, because you had God with you and you were conscious of his presence and his blessing. And you were reflecting on the things of God and on his grace in Jesus Christ. Psalm 73. The psalmist became envious of everything people had. They were all having a great time in a Christian's heart. And then he suddenly came to his senses, thought about the gospel, and said, God's with me. And I've got a glorious hope. He's with me now. He'll be with me forever. What's the person who doesn't have Christ got? He's got nothing now. What he has, he doesn't really have. Doesn't really enjoy. Isn't really a blessing to him. And soon, what he has will be taken from him. Psalm 73. Well, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what are you giving yourself to? What are you pursuing? What are you feeding your soul on? Or what are you drinking to supply those deepest needs? Well, it could be false religion. This woman was content with her false religion. What did it do? It was a ritual that at the end of the day just left her cold and empty. Didn't give her peace, didn't give her assurance that God was with her. It couldn't. And it might be sin. The pleasures of sin which last for a season. That's the problem. They don't last. As we read in Hebrews 11. Material things that at the end of the day, you can take or leave, but never leave you happy. It's always a bigger car, a bigger house, more impressive things, things that we'll have to leave behind anyway. We can't take with us. And you think even today how some will indulge in philosophy. It's interesting, some of the Where does thinking without God leave people? There's a famous picture called The Scream. It's of a person, this artist painted this picture of someone who is just screaming out because they think, well, this is all meaningless. There is no point. There is no hope. That's life without God. That's where philosophy leads people to. An irrationality. Well, you just have to make do and believe certain things for yourself. Friends, how dangerous to try and supply our own spiritual needs. She didn't discern her needs. And if she did have, if there was any thing, any attempt to supply our needs, it's failing. And what we can see is that there's evidence here that in reality she was thirsting. You'll notice that she has come to this well alone at noon. She hardly cuts a happy figure. She must have been aware that there was something wrong with her love life, you could say, with her, the way she's behaving in her relationships. What a lack of security she has. Isn't that this part of the craziness of modern life? People want so-called sexual freedom to live in whatever sort of relationships they want, and yet they want security at the same time, and they never get what they're looking for, because they've lost God's plan for relationships. She must have been longing for love and yet not finding it, even though she won't acknowledge it. How many people are like that today? Well, there's evidence that she was thirsting, although she doesn't see it. And the question for you is, have you found that true source of that can supply those spiritual thirsts that we all have? Let us remember that many people are like those who are adrift in the sea, and all that's around them is the seawater. Perhaps they start drinking the seawater. What happens? They're going to get more thirsty. How many are like that today? Vanity of vanities, saith the Lord. Without God, all is empty. The things of this world don't give lasting joy. You think of Haman. He's become one of the most important in the kingdom of the Medes. There's a Mordecai at the gate who won't bow before him and acknowledge him. And it's as if he's got nothing without that. You think of Ahab, he's got everything except a little vineyard that Naboth's got. And he goes and sulks because Naboth won't give him it. Isn't that the way things are? Always things to spoil. Whatever seems to give us contentment. Things not lasting. You know, there is an aching heart behind many a smiling face. Have you found the true source of spiritual refreshment? Well, notice secondly, the living water which could quench our spiritual thirst. The living water which could quench our spiritual thirst. Jesus says, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. What's he speaking of? Well, he describes it in verse 10 as a gift of God. If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, he would have given thee living water. So it's the gift of God. In other words, we have to look away from ourselves and look to God. Here is something that we cannot provide for ourselves, but God graciously provides for sinners in the gospel. And you'll notice it's something that is lasting and satisfying, because we read, he shall never thirst again. Here's something that gives immediate relief and gives lasting relief, gives a joy and a peace and a contentment. Well, we might say they've got a right to it. They might always enjoy it. You might be a believer here today and, well, you don't have something of the joy and the peace that you had a few months ago, a day ago, years ago. And it may be because you get into a rut and you're not as bright and lively spiritually as you once were. You're not drinking of the things of God as you should be. But you've got a right to this peace in Christ. You'll notice it's a plentiful supply. Whoever drinks of this water, I shall give him shall never thirst. It's for all who will come. And it becomes a swell of water springing up into everlasting life. It's a perpetual spring. You know, this well at times, although it was 100 feet deep, it was known to dry out. But when it talks about living water, the idea is of not water that's lying in a pool, but water that moves, water that springs out of a rock, say, a spring, it gushes out. It's living, it's moving, as opposed to more stagnant or just sitting there. That's the idea of living water. And the thing is, here is this water which becomes a spring, a bubbling up of a self-perpetuating flow of water. In other words, what the Lord gives is that which gives life, an eternal life, and satisfies and will never be taken away. Now, what's the Lord speaking of? He's not speaking of the Holy Spirit as such. Rather, he's speaking of salvation, which comes to all who trust in Christ. God's mercy in Christ. You think of how water is used to clean things, to purify things, and to cool things, or how it refreshes us. If you're thirsty, you take some water, how refreshed you feel. And really, what the Lord here is saying is salvation. As you think of all the blessings of salvation, they are that which cleanse, The guilt of sin is washed away. It purifies. It removes the pollution of sin. It breaks down the problem of sin and overcomes those desires to sin. Yes, through time, but it does help. It is that which gives us peace and which refreshes us. Because here is a promise of not just pardon, which is wonderful, and of even the power of sin being increasingly overcome in our life, but of God's help and his friendship, and of God's support and upholding, and ultimately there's the blessings of heaven itself. You would see they're all really contained within this gift of God. And these blessings are what we need. Really, what you have is the fact that that God-shaped hole in our lives, that God-shaped void becomes filled with God himself because we have God in Christ as our God through faith in Christ. And here's something then, salvation, which gives immediate relief. To know my sins are forgiven. To know God is no longer against me, but for me. To know God no longer calls me an enemy because of my rebellion, but he is willing to be on friendly terms with me, to be reconciled. Indeed, he will treat me as a child of God. And he'll give me the promise of life that will never end. Isn't that relief for the deepest needs of our soul? We can try and cram all the different things into that void and it will not fill it. But having God at the centre of our life and peace with God gives immediate and permanent relief. That capacity to have God as our God and to know him as our God, that's what satisfies. And of course, there's a sense in which that capacity to enjoy God may increase as time goes on, but it's always being filled. Here then is the gift of God, the free gift. A gift that can't be earned, salvation. And a bountiful supply for all who will come and take it. Isn't that what Isaiah said? Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He's like a water seller. I've got a bottle of water here. Do you realize that's what you need? Come ye and buy. Buy this. It's without money, without price. Yes, it's too costly. You can't earn it. You can't satisfy your own needs, but I get something that will refresh your soul. That's what the gospel says. And have you embraced it and made it your own? This is the living water which could quench our thirst. Well, notice thirdly, Christ's directions for quenching her spiritual thirst. What is she to do so that actually she can go away and never thirst again? Well, first of all, she must acknowledge the need, her need, and the source of help. You see, that's where so many people go wrong. They don't admit their need, and therefore they won't go to Christ. Verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God. She doesn't realize this. She doesn't get it. And the Lord's trying to explain it to her. So we have to recognize we have deep spiritual needs and that all that we have in this world and all that we might be offered, whether it's friends, family, work, possessions, relationships, they don't meet our deepest needs of having God as our God. And unless we acknowledge that, will never go to the place where we'll have our spiritual thirst quenched. What does she have to realise? She has to realise that, you know, it's not having Jacob's well or living beside the place that Jacob lived that mattered. True religion doesn't consist in having Jacob's land and Jacob's well, but having Jacob's faith. That's what she needs. She has to admit that God must be the source of her help. And if we are made for God, then knowing God is the key to the problems that we have. Beware then of refusing to acknowledge the need, and beware of refusing the only source of help. But then notice, secondly, she must ask for this water. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would give thee this living water. That word ask is a reminder that we must go to Christ and ask him to supply our deepest needs. And above all, therefore, ask him to receive us and to give us salvation through his work. As she was to go and ask Christ for this living water, so we must acknowledge that Jesus is a saviour. We'll only find salvation in him. And that as the one who is the author and the provider of salvation, we must seek all we need from him. And you'll notice there's encouragement here for you to go and do this. Because we read that Jesus saying to her, if you knew who was speaking to you, knew the gift of God, who's saying, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. That's reminding us that he is ready to give. You know, in him there's a fullness of salvation and a fullness of grace. And he's talking about giving. The word there is stressing the freeness. She doesn't need to do anything. You offer someone a gift. You expect them to take that gift. Not to say, but wait a minute, I'll have to give you something in return. There's a freeness here. It is, he gives freely and fully without reservation, and there is a whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. Another of these whosoevers of the Bible, which reminds us of the freeness of the offer of the gospel. Look at that in Isaiah 55. If you're out in the street selling something, you're saying, here's something you need. Come and buy this. I'll give it to you. That's where the gospel is. There's a freeness as to whosoever. In other words, the only people who debar themselves from salvation, the only people who are debarred from salvation are those who debar themselves by their own refusal to come and take that which is offered in the gospel. And how generous, how condescending, how willing Christ is to give. We must never think there's an unwillingness there. We must never put up barriers and say, but could this really be for me? The whosoever's and the illustrations used in Scripture are saying, if you will take this, you shall have it. As you come and rest your all upon what Christ has done. But you must ask. You must ask. You'll notice she must drink of this water. She must drink this water. In other words, she can know about it, but that won't do her any good. Knowing you've got plenty of milk in the fridge or plenty of water in the tap or even in a jug on the table does no good at quenching your thirst. You've got to take it yourself, haven't you? And make it your own. It is as you drink, your thirst is quenched. And so it's no use just knowing about this living water that Christ gives. You must take it and make it your own. You mustn't just taste it. Some people try a little, spit it out. They taste, but they don't drink. You can draw near. You can think about these things. But friends, you must do more than just taste. You must drink. In other words, you must let your need drive you to Christ and rely upon Him for that which will give you true meaning and true happiness and true peace with God. Once again, we see the gospel as something we must take to be our own. We must make personal. We must look to Him and no one else. Whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. What a wonderful offer. And the question for you and me simply surely is this then. Have you drunk of this living water? Or are you still thirsting? You know, if you're still thirsting, you must realize that the only thing that will satisfy you is to have God as your God through Jesus Christ. And you can try and ignore the needs. You can try and quench that thirst with things that don't really work. But the day is coming when you will experience a thirst like you have never experienced before. There's an awful picture given in Luke chapter 16. What happens to a sinner who doesn't have Christ? There you've got the rich man in hell, and he wants a drop of water, and he's not even given that. The spiritual agony, the spiritual thirst, felt, experienced, raging, having that effect that it consumes the whole body and soul, you could see, and is destroying it. How sad that anyone should end up in that situation. How unnecessary for you to end up in that situation. When Christ says to you, whoever drinketh of these other things shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Make sure that you are found drinking from the wells of salvation, and you will find that your thirst is satisfied in every situation. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, bless thy truth to us. We thank thee for that salvation which is to be found in Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he used such object lessons as water in a well to teach us spiritual truth. May we receive those truths and may we draw from Christ, who alone can satisfy us. We ask it in Jesus' name.